we are ready. Well, bless God. Who's here for the first time? Welcome, welcome, welcome. I've been busy with you on a series on, we just called it Christians and Demons. And it's to give you an idea of how the enemy can influence our life. The Bible tells us that we must be very careful because the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if you give place to the thief is going to run away with whatever is precious to you. You know, thieves don't steal things that are worthless. They only steal something that matters. Now, let's quickly ask the question. What do you have in your life that matters? Some of you, especially if you are younger, will probably immediately be thinking of your possessions, like your PlayStation. If you're a bit older than that, you're probably thinking of your car. But I want to tell you something. Those are not the things that are really, really valuable. Because as you get older, you begin to realize that life is made up of much more than just what you have. You see, then we begin to realize that there are things that money can't buy. And those are the valuable things. It is the favor of God and the favor of man. It is your sanity. It is your health. It is your peace. It is your joy. That is really, really very valuable. And you know, that's ultimately what the devil is after. He wants to rob us of these things because he has learned over the years that when we do not have these things, we get angry and frustrated at the people around us, but we also get angry at God. And ultimately, Satan's main purpose is to bring a rift or to bring division between you and God. The devil doesn't want you to be in a relationship with God. He doesn't want you close to God because one thing we have to understand, God is the source of all power. And the closer you get to God, the more your life will be a life of victory. The more you will begin to manifest. If we look at it from this point of view, the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. The closer you get to the fire, the more likely you are to start burning. Hello? Now, the devil is very allergic to people that are on fire because it reminds him of where he is going. Who knows where he's going? He's going to the pit of fire. In this week, I had an interesting discussion. No, 2 weeks ago, I had an interesting discussion with a gentleman. And the topic of our discussion was on healing. And the question simply was, why when we pray for people, do some people get healed and some people do not get healed? What is the problem there? You know what? I can't give you a complete breakdown on how all this stuff works because I have to be honest with you. I'm still learning myself. And I think until the day God comes to fetch me, I will still be learning. But what I can do is I can show you what the Word of God teaches us about these things. And I can give you a bit of insight into what I have learned over the years. Some of you are aware that I've been in this kind of ministry now for the last 20 years. I've been around the block a couple of times and I've learned quite a few things. And I do believe that it is the heart of God to heal people. But I do believe that there are sometimes things that can create an obstacle or a blockage or a barrier to us receiving that healing. In the same way, I do believe that it is the heart of God to prosper every single one of his children. But we sit with a lot of people that instead of having prosperity, they have total lack and they have manifest poverty. Something is wrong. Then we got to go and find out what is it that is wrong and what do we need to do to sort it out for things to come back in line. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Who knows what does the Bible say roughly should be the age of man before God comes to fetch you? Okay, it started off in the 900s. And then later on, God said, man, these people get up to way too much mischief when they're 900 years of age. So I'm going to cut it down. He made it 120. And things were no better. So eventually God settled on a figure and he said, from now on, the age of man will be 70 years. Okay, so why is it that some people reach 70 and other people only go to 23, 24, 25, 30, 40, whatever the case might be? Well, the Bible does say that there is a time to live and there is a time to die. And if God decided somebody's going to come home soon, there's nothing we can do about it. But you must also understand, it's not always God that made that decision. Sometimes there was a spirit in that person's life called the spirit of death. And that person gave too much power to that spirit, and that spirit took that life. And it happens. So what do we need to do? We need to deal with the stuff. Now, coming back to healing. There are some really, really obvious areas in a person's life that if you do not give attention to these things, in certain areas, you cannot expect God's healing to manifest in your life. I want to remind you, the Apostle Paul said, give the devil no place. We cannot get frustrated or angry or upset with God when we don't receive what we believe should be our portion if we are the ones at fault and if we are the ones that's ultimately giving the enemy the place to rob us of that health. I've already said to you, the Bible calls Satan a thief. Well, actually, it calls him the thief. And we know that he came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And we know that one of the areas that he would love to take from you is in the area of your health. The devil knows that sickness and infirmity creates a lot of problems, a lot of turmoil, a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, a lot of doubt, a lot of confusion in people's lives. And again, it brings a barrier between man and God. Now, how are you going to get healed if the thief has place in your life? How are you going to get healed if, by definition, he has the right to suck the life out of you because we are warned that he is a thief? And what are the things that we need to guard against that is going to ultimately give the thief place? Let's look at the first one. The first one, let me give you a scripture. It comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 13, and it says, therefore, my people will go into exile for lack of understanding. Their men of rank will die of hunger. We got a chocho moving everything around. Okay, Isaiah 5, verse 13. Let me start that again. Therefore, my people will go into exile for lack of understanding. Their men of rank will die of hunger, and their masses will be parched with thirst. Now, it's okay. He was just thirsty. He's sorting out now. Did you listen to what the Word of God said? What is lack of understanding going to cause in your life? Because if God is referring to the Israelites speaking, yeah, does God change his mind when he refers to the Afrikaner or the Portuguese or the Italian? Or are we all the same? When God speaks to the Israelites, he might as well be speaking to you or me because he's never changed his mind about how this stuff works. Listen carefully. Therefore, my people will go into exile. What is exile? Exile is out there in the darkness in bondage. Does lack of understanding bring bondage into people's lives? Totally. Totally. Many years ago, I was preaching in a small little town. I had been preaching there for about a week, and there was a family that came to me, and they said to me, listen here, please. Can you come and pray for my uncle because he's in the hospital and he's extremely sick? The doctors don't know how much time he's got left, blah, blah, blah. His situation is really bad, and to some extent, from what I could understand, it is terminal. And I agreed, because we want to help people. Amen. The Bible does say we must go and pray for the sick, and God will heal them. We must anoint them and pray over them. So the gentleman comes to pick me up in his vehicle. We go to the hospital, we get to the hospital, we get to the gentleman's room. They introduce me, they share with the uncle that I've been preaching at their church and that God has been doing some amazing things for people. And you know, I don't even know how to put this. The moment I wanted to anoint the gentleman to pray for him, he got very angry with me. In fact, he came this close to chasing me out of his hospital room. And I didn't understand that. And he was shouting at me, don't you come here with all of your rituals and stuff. I'm not interested in any of this nonsense. And you know that ultimately he refused to let me pray for him. Yet the fact of the matter is he was a leader in his own church. Now, I don't understand how you come to a position of leadership in a church if you don't even understand what the Bible says pertaining to how things need to be handled. Scripture says in the book of James chapter 5, if somebody is sick, let them call on the elders, let them lay hands on the sick, anoint them, and the prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. It's simple. It's not a ritual. But you see, this gentleman obviously had a lack of understanding, or there was something else going on that I couldn't determine. But the fact of the matter is, we had to leave, and the family was very distraught by what happened, because they also felt that they were trying to do something to help the individual. Well, his lack of understanding got him nowhere, because he passed away very soon after that. But the church is full of people, the world is full of people that have a lack of understanding, and they fight because of their lack of understanding. And the scripture tells us clearly, going back to that verse, my people will go into exile because of their lack of understanding. Their men of rank will die of hunger, and their masses will be parched with thirst. In other words, lack of understanding will not just cause lack of understanding, it will bring lack in every area of your life. Now, you don't need to understand Oprah more. You don't need to understand Dr. Phil more. You don't need to understand Jerry Springer more. You need to understand the Word of God. And one of the problems that I see in church today, and it's not just now, it's been for a long time, people don't know the Word of God. Just because you sit in church on a Sunday doesn't mean you actually know what's happening in the Word. You have a responsibility to educate yourself as to what the Word of God teaches. If God wants to work in your life in accordance with His Word, and you start fighting against it, then you've got nobody but yourself to blame for the fact that you have lack in whatever area it might be. Now, when it comes to healing, sometimes we are ignorant of how God works or what God could do to bring healing into our life. And then the only way to adjust that is to receive the teaching, to receive the wisdom or the knowledge or the understanding. Firstly, it is in the Word of God. But now you must also understand something. Not everybody is a good teacher. Why do you go to church? You come to learn. Why? Because somebody needs to take what is sometimes difficult, because, you know, even Peter says to the Apostle Paul, wow, your teachings are difficult. Even I find it hard to understand. Now, that means that unless the Holy Spirit works with us and helps us, and unless there is a teaching anointing, sometimes it's really difficult to understand certain concepts in the Bible. So we need to be associated with a good Bible-based church and pastor or preacher or teacher or evangelist or whatever you want to call it, that sticks to the Word of God and expounds it in a biblical way and in a godly way, for us to have understanding, because we do not want to be in this place where he says, therefore my people will go into exile for lack of understanding. There's areas in our lives that we need to add to our understanding. You cannot sit here today and tell me, oh, but I know everything. No, you don't. You still need to learn a lot. Me, I still need to learn a lot. And God is the teacher. We need to allow him to teach us in various areas of Christian living. Amen. We all know Hosea 4 verse 6, which says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, you can't put it more plain than that. The reason why a lot of people, now listen to what he says. He says, my people, look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Mr. Bean, that's you. My people, yeah, well, me too. My people. You know, we are so quick to have this thing that, oh, you know, the people in the world, they are suffering because they don't know God. He doesn't say they're the heathen. He doesn't say the unbeliever. He doesn't say the Gentile. He says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. What knowledge is it that God wants you to have? You know, there's some of you out here, you've got degrees. Bless you for studying, but that's not what God wanted you to have. Your bachelor's in science, it's not going to help you much. Okay? Your whatever BSc in engineering is not going to help you much. Because the knowledge God wants you to have comes from His Word. Okay? That helps you to do your job. God helps you to live your life. And the Word of God gives us the principles necessary to live a life of victory. We have to be fruitful. The divine commission when God just created mankind is go out, fill the earth, be fruitful. Amen. God wants us to be fruitful. Sometimes we're doing things wrong and therefore there's no fruit in our life. But then we need teaching. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And listen to this. The rest of Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you as my priests. And I want to say to you that this hasn't changed. We have people that come to our meetings. We have people that go to churches all over the world. And they hear the word of God and they're like, ah, it doesn't work like that. It's not like that. I want to tell you something. When you start playing this game, you're playing with a fire that will destroy your life. If it's in the Word of God, it's knowledge God wants you to have. You do not get to decide whether I accept this, but I reject that. And this is okay for me, but that's nonsense. If it's in the Word of God, you better apply it in your life. Otherwise, I want to tell you something. You are in for trouble. I'm going to repeat this because I want you to hear. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I will reject you as my priest. When the Word of God teaches you something, you do not get to choose whether it sits well with you. You know, a lot of people, I actually had somebody saying to me the one day, oh, that doesn't sit well with me. You know, it doesn't sit well. You're going to stand before God and tell Him, sorry, pal, you made a mistake. It doesn't work like that. Hey, you know, my father wasn't God, but I better not tell him something like that. When he tells me it's like this, when I was still in the house, it's like, oh yeah, it's like that. Because if I don't do it like that, there's going to be problems. Now, I just believe that that's the right way to handle things. When God's word tells you it's like this, it's like that. You don't question it. You don't have to analyze it. You don't even have to ponder it. You just have to accept it. That's the way it is. A lot of people that today are battling in life are battling because of this scripture, because God has given them over and over again the knowledge needed to live a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of hope, a life of victory, whatever you want to put there, and they keep rejecting it. They keep rejecting it. They keep rejecting it. How many times do we sit in a church and we hear a message and we're like, ah, you know what, okay, fine, but that's not for me right now. Problem is you're rejecting the knowledge of God. And it's plain here what will happen. If you reject my knowledge, I too will reject you. All right. The second thing, the big thing, barrier or obstacle that causes problems when people need healing. And you know what? This is not just applicable to healing. This is applicable to a lot of areas of your life. But now we are speaking about healing, is unbelief. You know, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is never going to change. When you come to God, you must believe that God is, that in other words, He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we have to believe. We have to have faith. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12 says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful or unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the sin of deceitfulness. In other words, we are warned that we should not have an unbelieving heart. There is a scripture in the New Testament in the book of James where he speaks of unbelief and he speaks of being double-minded. And he says a double-minded person is like a wave in the sea. Today you yawn, and then tomorrow you're there, and then you yawn, and then you're there. And then it says, such a person must not believe that they will receive anything from God, for they are unstable in all of their ways. Now, why is this important? Because I see this here many times. People come for healing. Is there anything in the Bible that says God will heal you the first time that you get prayed for? Or does it just say that we must knock and keep on knocking, pray and keep on praying? Amen? We have to have faith. Now, let me explain to you, when there is a healing anointing present, God can choose how to apply it. It's not my choice, it's not your choice, it's God's choice, because the healer is God. It's not you, it's not me, it's not man, it's God. Now, if God heals this man today, but he doesn't heal this man, it's God's choice to do so. But now, this man must then guard against becoming double-minded. Because this is what happens. When we see the person next to us get healed and we don't get healed, it's like, oh, obviously God doesn't want to heal me. Where does that thought come from in the first place? Well, there's a spirit of unbelief that knows that you are disappointed, and it's going to use that to come and mess with you, because it wants you to receive that thought, put it in your heart, and then you're double-minded. And because you're double-minded, you are unstable and you will not receive anything from God. I know it's difficult when we really had our heart set on something and we don't get it. How many times in your father's or your mother's house did you really, really, really wanted something, and then they gave you something else and you were like, oh. But you still had to go on with life, didn't you? You couldn't turn your back on your parents because they didn't give you what you wanted. Well, it's the same with God. The enemy wants us to focus on that disappointment, to focus on that we might feel it's like a betrayal or a hurt or something. But what you need to understand is God wants you to still operate in faith. I saw a very interesting thing. Some of you know many, many, many years ago, I went to TB Joshua. And I went to go and see what was going on there, because I'd seen some amazing things and I'd heard some things from people. And I decided to go there. I wanted to go there to see myself. I'd seen a lot of televangelists. And one thing I have to say, I never really saw anybody get healed on camera. I saw people being brought onto stage and it's like, oh, this one had this and this one had that and that one had that. And now they all healed and everybody was clapping and praising God. But now how do I know? And it's not that I'm trying to be funny. How do I know the person was actually healed? How do I know that here's the proof? This is the before scan. This is the after. I mean, it is unfortunately quite a hype when everybody's there and it's like, oh, this one is healed. We don't know. Now me, I'm funny that way. I do believe that when Jesus prayed for people, you saw things happen. I don't know about you, but this is what I'm reading in the Bible. And the one place where I saw that type of thing happen was up in Africa. So I wanted to go there to see for myself. And let me tell you something. What I saw there just absolutely blew my mind. In fact, I nearly immigrated to that place and stayed there because I didn't want to leave. It was like, wow, the stuff I saw there, it blows your mind. I have shared one or two of these things, but there was a woman that they brought there. She had tumors behind her eyes. And because of the size of the growths behind her eyes, it had actually pushed the eyeballs to sit outside the eye sockets. She looked like a cartoon character. You know that movie, The Mask, when his eyes pop out, doing? She looked like that. And it was really bad because she had excruciating pain. You must understand that the optic nerve is being stretched well beyond what it was created for. Plus, the eyes are dry all the time. Insects go and sit on her eyeballs, and she can't touch them really because it hurts. And man, I mean, this is a curse. She had a very bad curse upon her life. They brought her in, and he looked at her and he asked, how long has she had this? And for example, she'd had this like for the last 3 or 5 years. It was quite a long time. And her husband was standing there with this huge, big bag of whatever, medicine. And he asked, how much does it cost a month? And it was some ridiculous amount, like $1,000 a month or whatever. And he said, okay, fine. He walked up to the woman. He stretched out his hand before he even said a word. Both eyeballs in front of me. I was standing next to him, popped back. Your jaw drops like you've never seen anything like that in your life. I saw them bring people with wheelchairs that hadn't been walking for 30, 40 years. They got no muscles on. They look like skeletons that got up out of those wheelchairs and started walking. Talk about miracles. I saw miracles. I saw amazing things happen. Now, why did I start talking about all of this? We were busy with unbelief. Say again? Well, probably something like that. Anyway, unbelief. I went there because I wanted to see. And I'm trusting God that we're going to see more and more and more of these things because people are hurting. People are suffering. And you know, even though medicine is amazing and you know, the medical fraternity does wonderful work and I do believe God blesses them to do it, there's a lot of things they can't do. They'll tell you straight, we got no cure for this, we got no cure for that. We don't even understand what that is, but God does. And God is the healer. God does want to heal. Okay, yes, this is where I was going. There was a pastor from South Africa that went with us. He had Parkinson's disease, but a very, very bad state of Parkinson's disease. He had to be pushed around in a wheelchair. He couldn't walk anymore. He couldn't eat by himself. He was fed. His daughter came with. She was feeding him. And he went there. Now, take into account, we saw miracles happen, boom, left, right, center. Nothing happened for him. He got back on the plane. He came back to South Africa in exactly the same state. I'm sure he was disappointed. I'm sure he was frustrated. I'm sure there was a lot of things that went through his mind. But you know what? Sometimes God also tests our heart. I saw the same man 2 years later at a healing crusade. The power of God came upon him. He got healed at that crusade. He did not get healed 2 years before. But one thing I want to tell you about him, he also didn't give up. Wherever there was healing, he went and he asked. And this is something that I do want to say. I often encounter people, they come for prayer once and if nothing happened, they like all angry and you know what, this is nonsense and this doesn't work. You know, God is not there and we have to check our hearts. We cannot tell God what to do. And sometimes God, even in your circumstances, is talking to you about what's going on in your heart. I saw this man walk up on stage. I know he couldn't walk because I spent 2 weeks with him in Africa. I know he couldn't walk. I saw him walk up on stage by himself. He couldn't speak. He spoke, but you know, I don't know if you've ever heard somebody with Parkinson's disease that they mumble a lot. You can't really hear what they say. He took the microphone. The microphone was not shaking. He spoke normal. He was healed 2 years later. What did he do? He persevered. He knocked and kept on knocking. He asked and kept on asking. And I'm sure that he guarded his heart. Because sometimes we get disappointed and we say, this is nonsense. This is not for me. God still wants to help you. So let's not be double-minded. The next one is very important. Unconfessed sin. Let me say something about confessing sin. You know, we can go to bed at night and we say, oh Lord, I thank you for my life and I thank you for blessing me. And Lord, I confess whatever sins I did today, blah, blah, blah. And we go to bed and we're like, okay, fine, we've done our part. But you see, there are certain things that you can't just generalize before God. You got to call a spade a spade. I've shared this testimony on a number of occasions, but it works well, so I'm going to share it again. A number of years ago, when I was still young in ministry, There is a pastor in this area. His church is probably about 10 kilometers from here. And he phoned me, I think it was about 8 o'clock at night. He said to me, listen, yeah, don't you want to come and pray with me for this one woman? Because there's something wrong here, and I have a feeling that this could be demonic. I said, okay, fine. I went. He came and picked me up. I went with him. So we got to this woman's house. There was this woman sitting there. She looked like a bit like she was in a trance. Apparently, she'd been like that now for a number of days. She looked about comatose. When you spoke to her, she was like just staring in front of her, and then she would slowly turn and she would look at you, but it was like the lights are on, but there's nobody home. She didn't eat. She wasn't sleeping. She was in an almost vegetative state. And the doctors told her husband that they are going to have to admit her to a psychiatric institution because that's the only way they could solve this. Now, the pastor had been there during the day to pray for her. He told me he spent the whole day there and nothing happened. Eventually, he got frustrated. He went home, and then it was like God spoke to him to take me to go pray for the woman. I said, okay, fine. So here we come. The husband opens the door. He says, she's in that room. He disappears. I think that already told me something. Something is up. So he was pointing to this doorway. I go into the doorway. I don't see nobody in the room. Now I see, which is obviously the bathroom. Now you know one has to be careful just to go into other people's bathrooms. So now I'm announcing my presence. Hello, hello, hello. Nothing. So now I slowly venture forward. You know, hello. Here's this woman standing. She doesn't do nothing. I walk up to her. I say, ma'am, hello. This is my name. I'm so and so. I've been asked to come and pray for you. She like very slowly. She looks at me. Took me half an hour to get her to the bed to sit down. Now I'm talking to her. I have no idea whether she's registering anything that I'm saying or not. I say to her that I've come there to pray for her, and I want to show you how she walked. And I'm not exaggerating. This is how she walked. She walked something like this. It literally looked like her legs were tied together. Now I'm checking this out, and all right, now we've enough talk, enough praying, enough this. I start rebuking the devil. Me, I rebuke the devil. I rebuke every curse that is upon this woman's life. And I tell you what, something in her eyes started looking back at me. And it wasn't her. Now I know that I know there's a problem here. I said, whatever you are, whoever you are, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. You will let this woman speak to me. So the woman starts speaking to me. I say to her, ma'am, what's going on? She says, oh, she doesn't know. She's got no life. She can't eat. She can't sleep, blah, blah, blah. I say, okay, I want to ask you a question. Do you have any unconfessed sin in your life? Because now I can see there's a demon, but it looks like it's got a lot of power over her life. At first she says no. But the way she said no to me, her mouth was saying no, but the rest of her was saying yes. I'm not stupid. I could see that. I said, okay, ma'am, I need you to listen to me. I have a very strong, I know that I know that there is a spirit messing with you. There's a demon giving you a hard time. Now, the thing is, in order for us to, for God to get rid of it, we have to take away whatever's giving it place. And if there's something in your life giving it place, it will not leave. So listen, I'm not asking you what's going on in your life because I have prying ears or because I'm curious. I'm asking you because I need to help you. And I understand how this stuff works. So please, just work with me and honor the word of God. Turns out eventually that she had an abortion when she was younger. Now that caused two problems because she had the abortion, but her husband made her get the abortion. So now there's two things here. Number one, she's never confessed the abortion. Number two, she's never forgiven her husband for what happened. And this all comes out. So I speak to her and I say to her, listen, yeah, you know, why don't you want to confess this to God? No. Things like that you cannot confess to God. I said, well, this is the first I've heard of that. You know, the Bible says, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It doesn't say there's a certain category of sins that cannot be confessed because it's going to put God into shock. I said to her, and by the way, you know that God is omnipresent, right? It's like He was there when it happened. You're not hiding anything from Him. He's well aware of it. It's for your sake that you confess, not for His. Eventually she confessed. Then I said to her, now let's talk about your husband. Don't ask me to forgive him because I'm not going to forgive him. I say, oh man, wait. Do you know what the Bible says will happen to you if you don't forgive? I take her through some teaching, give her some knowledge, some understanding. Eventually it comes to the point where she says, okay, fine. God must help me and God must touch my heart, but I'll forgive him. God is my witness. She was standing there and we prayed. She confessed what she did. She forgave her husband. The moment she finished, her eyes went strange. Something came out of her. She started walking normally. There was nothing wrong with her. She called her husband. He nearly had a heart attack himself when she called him because it had been almost a week that she hadn't said a word. He walked in. He said, oh, you better. She says, yes, I'm hungry. Please get me something to eat. She went to see the doctor the next day. The doctor declared her fit as a fiddle. She got healed. But you see, until she did not get rid of the barrier of unforgiveness and unconfessed sin, the healing power of God did not come. Now, I want you to know, the pastor had spent the whole day with her. Nothing happened. He prayed for healing. He prayed for God's power to come down. He prayed for the hand of God to touch this woman. Along the lines of what he prayed, nothing happened. When I got there and I identified the cause of the problem and I began to speak to her about that and she dealt with it, immediately the power of God moved. There's a lot of people in this world that go forward for prayer time after time after time. But the hand of God will not move until you meet His conditions. Before you can receive healing, you gotta be willing to forgive and you gotta be willing to confess. Okay, my next point was resentment and unforgiveness towards others. Let's just say that I sort of dealt with both of these together. I want to read you a scripture. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, he who conceals his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. He who conceals his sin will not prosper. Sometimes we have this thing that we can't talk to God about this because what we did is so bad. Listen, yeah. The whole idea of God allowing Jesus to go and hang on a cross to give his life for you was so that he can pay the price on your behalf. God doesn't want you to suffer for the things that you've done anymore. He's made a way for you to come out from under that suffering. If you say that you will not bring this before God, then you make Jesus' death for nothing. Then why did he do that? He did it to release you from the bondage that you're in. He did it to give you freedom, to give you liberty, and to bring forgiveness into your life. There's nothing that you can confess to God that he hasn't heard a million times before anyway. Amen? It's to get to that place that you open your heart and that you confess. The second thing is we need to be able to forgive others. And of course, that includes myself. One thing a lot of people battle with is they're sort of okay to forgive that one and that one and that one. But when it comes to forgiving themselves, especially when they feel that they have failed somebody in a really bad way, it's like, and I've heard people say that, I will never forgive myself. The other day, I actually rebuked somebody because in a conversation, they brought up these things. And I will never forgive myself. I said, stop that right there. Oh, what do you mean? I say, the Word of God says we must forgive. And it's somebody that attends our meetings. I said, you know the Word of God says that we must forgive. How can you make a public declaration that you refuse to forgive yourself? You're calling every devil in a 5-kilometer radius to come and mess with you. You have to forgive. Because the Bible says if you will not forgive, the tormentors will come for you. What do you think the tormentors are? The tormentors are evil spirits that are going to mess with you and give you a hard time. Mark 11 verse 25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. What's the word I'm looking for? I forget the word, but say again. Yeah, I can't use the only Afrikaans then. Yeah. But it's like what the scripture is hinting at is that, listen to what it says. It says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. So it's kind of like when you stand praying, do you want your prayers to be answered? You better start forgiving people, because if you don't forgive people, your prayers are also not going to be answered. And you see, when you come for healing, it is a prayer for healing. You want the prayer to be answered, don't you? Well, if you can't come to a place that you forgive others, the prayer for healing will also not be answered. And there's a lot of people, again, they go to people to, oh, please pray for me because I've got this and this and this problem. And the person is praying and they're praying with faith. Now, faith does move the hand of God, but unforgiveness puts a stop. And until the unforgiveness is not dealt with, the healing can't flow. There's a lot of people in this world that should have been healed a long time ago. It's not that God doesn't want to heal them. It's not that the anointing isn't present to heal them. It's that they are not in the right place to receive the healing. And if they deal with what's wrong, the healing will come like that. Okay. The next thing that is very important, and I know that in the last series that we just did on Christians and demons, I spoke on this a lot, but today I have to speak about it again because these things are related. If you have any occultic involvement in your life, it could possibly bring a barrier to you receiving healing in your life. Exodus chapter 23, verse 24 to 26. Listen to the scripture. Very, very powerful. It says, do not bow down to their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and you must break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and His blessing will be upon your food and upon your water. And I will take away sickness from amongst you, and none of you will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. Okay, do you want all your sicknesses to be healed? Do you want to be prosperous in your land? Do you want to be fruitful in everything that you do? Then you better also adhere to the first part of the scripture. Listen to what he says again. Do not bow down to false gods. Do not worship them. Do not follow their practices. Now you see, I want to stop right here and let's talk about this. How many Christian people are following blatant satanic practices? Are applying practices associated with other religions and false gods. Gazillions. Now, you see, you might think that that's not a problem, but the Bible tells us God thinks it's a big problem. And until you don't come in line with the word of God, you can't expect the second part of that scripture to be applicable to your life. You want to be blessed and you want to be fruitful, but God says if you bow down to these gods or if you follow their practices, you will not be. And you see, unfortunately, the world is full of people that want to serve God with their mouth, but not with their actions. And it doesn't work that way. Now, I underlined this in my sermon. Do not follow their practices. Anything associated with false religions or false gods, look at your neighbor and say, off limits. How can I make that more plain to you? I can't. If it comes from Buddhism, it's off limits. If it has anything to do with Hinduism, it's off limits. If Allah likes it, God doesn't. It's off limits. Amen? If it has anything to do with witchcraft or sorcery or magic or anything like that, it's off limits. Now, I have here just a thing. Anything associated with false gods or false religions are off limits to peoples. And God says in his words, you better not follow their practices. You see, unfortunately, the world is full of people who on a Sunday, they sit in church and they worship God. But Monday to Saturday, they mess with the devil's things. Fortune telling. Astrology. Horoscopes. The New Age. Very popular these days. Hypnotism. Superstitions. You better go take that horseshoe off your door. And that lucky rabbit's foot that you got on your car keys, get rid of it. Drug abuse. Reiki. Astral projection. Yoga. ESP. Spiritism. Witchcraft. The Ouija board. Acupuncture. Reflexology. The pendulum. And for those of you that don't know exactly how the pendulum works, it is when they use an object that they tie to a string and then they let it swing and then it determines whether you're going to have a boy or a girl, etc., etc. It shows where you have disease and sickness in your body. And a lot of people, I almost want to say innocently, get themselves pulled into the stuff. How many times have you gone to a tea party where some woman says, oh, I'll tell you whether you're going to have a boy or a girl. Give me your wedding ring. Then they tie a hair to the wedding ring. It's like ding, 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 ding. Oh, you're going to have a girl. But the thing is, you're going to pay the devil for what you just heard. And it's brought a barrier between you and God. And you know, later on, 20 years from there, where you have some kind of weird infirmity or sickness that doesn't want to go away, that's where it came from. And until that's not dealt with, it's going nowhere. This is just a small list. We can add like a gazillion other things. Iridology, blah, blah, blah. We can add a lot of things there. But the fact is, if it is in any way linked to Eastern religions, martial arts, tattoos and piercings, we need to stay away from things that are associated with false gods and false religions. And I know every time we talk about these things, people want to fight. I'm not here to fight with you. I'm sorry. I'm here to give you the word of God. What you do with it, that's your baby. But I have to tell you the truth. There's things God says, don't. And when you do, you must be willing to pay the price for the consequences that's going to come your way. And you know, I can't tell you how many times I have people, it's not like that. I don't see it that way. I don't care how you see it, but now you've heard the truth. And once you've heard the truth, you better listen. Because you can't stand before God one day and tell him, oh, but you know, I never knew. He's going to say, hey, you were in church that day when Rian spoke to you. He spoke about this exact same thing and you were like, that's rubbish. Disobedience brings the curse. You don't want to be under the curse, do you? And in any case, why would you want to be involved in any of this rubbish? Why do you need this nonsense? If you can come to church and God can heal you, God can prophesy over your life, God can do the real thing, why do you want to go and call the false thing into your life. You don't need it. Stay away. Okay. Another thing that will definitely cause problems, Freemasonry. Over the years, I've prayed for many, many people that were involved in Freemasonry and children of people that were involved in Freemasonry. And I tell you what, it opens a can of worms, something chronic. And in many cases, I have seen it bring a lot of weird sicknesses and infirmities that would not go away until the curse that came through Freemasonry was broken. Let me just say that Freemasonry is a very difficult subject to touch because the public perception of Freemasonry is that it is very good because they help people. They help the widows and they help the orphans and, you know, they're busy with liefdadigheidswerk, community services, etc., etc. Well, the Bible does say that the devil, when he comes, will come as an angel of light. Now, here's your problem. When you join Freemasonry, it doesn't seem to be such a bad thing because there's a lot of camaraderie involved. There's a lot of friendship bonds being formed, etc., etc. They stand together. There's a lot of noble things. But the problem is, in order to get involved in all of this type of stuff, you have to pronounce an oath over yourself that if you were ever to reveal these things, that your tongue will be cut out and you will be your throat will be cut and you will be thrown into the sea at the low water tide, blah blah, you know, all sorts of horrible things, and that all these things will come upon your descendants. You are cursing yourself and your descendants. Does that sound like something that a child of God should even enter into? No, it doesn't. And the further you go, the higher up in the levels you go, slowly but surely a different picture begins to materialize. And there comes a time when you go up to a certain level where you realize that the God of Freemasonry, who is called the Great Architect, is apparently not God, but it is Lucifer. But by the time you get to that level, you are so indoctrinated and you are so pulled under that you don't care. You just carry on regardless. But it creates a lot of problems for the descendants of people that have been involved in Freemasonry. And on a number of occasions, we've had to pray for people for healing, where it came out that there was Freemasonry involved and, you know, I prayed for a woman once. Interesting story. She had a lot of sickness. So one day I said to her, listen, wasn't your father by any chance involved in Freemasonry? Now, she came from England. Her parents came from England. And she said to me, look, she's not sure. It was never spoken of, but she does know that her father used to go to some very secretive meetings, blah, blah, blah. And she and her mother didn't know much about what was happening there. But she can't say yes, she can't say no. I said, okay, fine, let's pray. God knows the truth, but I'm going to lead you in a prayer to renounce the curse that the Freemasons brought upon your life and the spirits involved in Freemasonry. Man, all sorts of demons begin to pop in this girl. She knew nothing about Freemasonry. One by one, they gave the names of the spirits involved in Freemasonry. Where did she get this knowledge? She didn't. It was what was inside of her, but what was linked to the Freemasons that was coming out accurately. By the time she was finished, the infirmity was gone because it was rooted in the ties to Freemasonry. Then, how much time have I got left? Oh, wow. They say time flies when you're having fun. In the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 40, I want you to listen to this. This is very important. Luke 4 verse 40, there's a scripture that says, when the sun was setting, they brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Okay, that's biblical, isn't it? Somebody is sick, bring them. Lay hands on them, pray over them, and they're going to get healed. And the Bible says the people got healed. Amen. Praise God. But now there's a little something added to it. Moreover, demons came out of people shouting, "You are the Son of God." Why did these people come to Jesus? Listen carefully. When the sun was setting, they brought to Jesus all kinds, all who had various kinds of sickness. Why did the people come to Jesus? They were sick. They needed to be healed. But what happened to a lot of them when Jesus prayed for them? They didn't get healed, they got delivered. There's a difference. A lot of sickness, a lot of infirmity is demonic in its origin, is demonic in its roots. If you can't understand that, you can't deal with the sickness. It doesn't help praying for somebody that has a demonic problem that they be healed, because, you know, in the trade we say the right tool for the right job. The healing anointing is to bring healing, but there's a different anointing to bring deliverance. And that's why a lot of people keep going for prayer, because they're not getting anything, but they're going to get somewhere when they attack the root of the problem. It's not a sickness. It's something sitting there making the sickness. If you have a thief in your house, and every day he steals 100 rand, and every day you're like, the 100 rand's gone again. I'm putting another 100 rand down. Tomorrow I come back. Oh, can you believe it? The 100 rand's gone. I'll put another 100 rand down. Are you getting anywhere? No, you're wasting your money. You got to get rid of the thing that keeps taking the 100 rand. In a lot of people's life, it's a spirit. It's a demon that gained power, whether through something they did or were exposed to, or some great disappointment that happened in their life, or maybe it even comes through the bloodline. But until you don't deal with that thing, healing can't really come. Many years ago, I was at a party. And this was in a time where God just started using me to pray for people. I'm all excited and I'm praying for everybody. The cat said, "Still long enough, I'm going to lay hands on it." That's just the way it is, you know. All excited, God's doing wonderful things, bless the Lord. We get to this party and like, within 5 minutes, I've got the whole conversation going towards what God is busy doing. Luckily, it was the type of people that they took it. So while I'm busy talking, there's a young guy there. At that stage, he was actually playing for the Lions. And he says to me, "Listen, young man, I have a problem with this leg. Would you mind praying for my leg?" I said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." Now, his one leg was much shorter than the other leg. Now, you see, when you walk, you can normally wear a shoe that's built up. But when you play rugby, you can't play with a rugby boot that's built up. And he said to me, when he has to, he was a very fast runner. He played in the back line. He was a center. Very, very strong, powerful runner. He says, but this would really, really hurt him because of the fact that he's not balanced. And sometimes it takes him a week to recover from one game. I said, okay, fine. I'm going to pray for you. So I prayed for him and I prayed for him and I prayed for him, and like nothing is happening to this leg. But I could feel that the power of God is on me. I can feel it. There's an anointing. God wants something to happen, but like nothing is happening. So eventually I say to him, "Are you feeling anything?" He says, "No, no, he doesn't feel nothing." I said, "Okay, fine." I said to him, "Do you think there could be a curse upon your life?" He says, "Well, he doesn't know. He has been a naughty guy." He says, "Maybe. I don't know." I said, "Okay, you know what? I don't know. You don't know, but God knows. Let's just pray and say to the Lord, Lord, if I've ever done anything that has allowed the devil to come into my life to curse me, please forgive me." He prays that with me. God is my witness. While we are praying, he's sitting with his feet forward. He's sitting on a chair. His feet are going forward. On the right leg, yeah, halfway between the knee and the hip, suddenly all the muscles contract. They make a ball. It looked like a tennis ball sitting underneath him. The oak starts screaming. I don't blame him, because if you ever had a muscle spasm, that was the big boy mother of all muscle spasms. I've never seen anything like that. This oak shouted. He screamed. He rolled. He performed. I said, well, I'm just going to keep praying until it goes away. I did. It left. Guess what happened when he got up? He was completely healed. Do you know that when he started walking, the first couple of steps that he gave, he actually kept falling that way. Because he had been so used to compensating for this side that he had to completely change the way he walked. I have to say, he played much better after that. Give the Lord a big hand, please. Why do some people not get healed? It could be that it's just not your time. Then you got to knock and keep on knocking. I have had people come to these meetings and say to other people, oh, why you keep going forward for the same thing? Please don't say stuff like that. People need to trust God. People need to have faith. Don't interfere with somebody else's faith. Their faith is something between them and God. And sometimes we judge people in ways we do not know. You know, Jesus gave that parable to show us that you must always pray and never give up. If you don't receive your healing today, then you come tomorrow again and you come the day after again. Because going and sitting in the corner and sulking because nothing is happening is also not going to bless God. Amen? We have to stay in faith. And we have to also act upon our faith. Some people are not healed because they don't confess things. Some people are not healed because they don't forgive people. Some people are not healed because there is an occultic influence. In the end, the only one that can heal is God. All I can do is teach you the biblical principles. In the end, I can't heal you. No man will heal you. Jesus is the healer. And your eyes need to be upon Him. Let's have faith and let's trust God. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.